Good afternoon, my blog talkers. It's good to hear you on the Sunday Drive Talk with myself, your host, Dr. William P. Butler, Sr. I'm so glad that you guys tuned in and turned on to our station on today. And I would love to allow a shout out, if you would, to those that support us all the time and help to bring this broadcast to life. I want to say thank you for Jason Moore at Salon Knoxville, for Pastor Maples from the True Believers Church. I want to say thank you producer, Ms. Janice Hudson Z, and also for the Rock of Age Baptist Church, as well as the Rock Mentoring Program and the Quest Family Care Group. I want to thank you all for all your support. And are here, we're going to reveal a topic for today. We're going to talk about what heaven and hell both look like. Probably a reality in most of our minds that for a long period of time, people have talked about heaven and hell. People talked about the fact that hell may be a bad place and heaven is a good place. But have you ever thought about what the Bible really talks about? Wondered whether or not it really talks about what the these particulars are? I mean, really, like, how many people are going to go to hell and how many people are going to go to heaven? If the Bible knows the past, present, and the future, I mean, shouldn't it have all of that recorded in it? Shouldn't it know all of that information? Maybe. It would be good to know. Well, on today, we're going to be covering just that. Now, first of all, it is important that you understand why heaven and why hell are. First of all, you need to know that heaven is the place that we refer to as God's home. It is where he lives and where he dwells and where he exists. Now, heaven, in retrospect, is not a tangible location. It is a spiritual location. Therefore, there are no human bodies in heaven. However, the Bible does teach that when you die, your soul goes to heaven, for your human body in physical form has consciousness in this physical world. Your soul in spiritual form has consciousness in the heaven, and your soul lives forever, either in heaven or in hell. So the locations are very important because you want to realize that God is in charge of heaven. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What he says always goes, and he is in charge of heaven. Now, hell is a little bit different of a place. And when you think about hell, you need to know that the Bible teaches clearly that hell was not created for humans. Humans are not supposed to go to hell. It's not designed that way. But it doesn't mean that they won't go just because it's not designed for humans. The Bible teaches that hell was actually created, the devil and his minions, or his fallen angels, or his imps. Now, you need to know at one time prior to mankind that there was no hell at the time, that the devil lived in heaven. And he wasn't called the devil. He was called Lucifer. And because he was called Lucifer, his purpose, he was basically a person who was designed to produce music. He was created to where music lived in him. And his purpose was to praise and to glorify God. The issue is when he began to get jealous of God, even in heaven. And Lucifer began to gossip and to turn other people against God. Oh, I'm sorry, other angels against God. So you had three types of angels. You had the warrior angels. You had the messenger angels. You had the praising of the heavenly host angels. And Satan was over, when he was Lucifer, he was over the heavenly host or the angelic choir or the music ministry of heaven. Now, that's pretty awesome. The Bible teaches that he was one of the most beautiful angels that there was in heaven, which is pretty nice. But how many people do you know that are endowed with good genes and exceptional beauty or handsomeness? And it seems like it starts going to their head. How many babies and children do you know that because they're so cute, they're used to getting that type of attention from people, and it starts going to their head, and before you know it, the kid turns bad and they get spoiled and they're not able to, you know, to follow any guidelines or respect anybody or do anything, you know, this, that, and the other. That's a problem. Now, the issue is the same thing happened to Lucifer. He basically decided that he wanted to exalt his throne higher than the Most High, and he wanted to be God. And so that created a problem because he began to gossip and turn the minds and the hearts of one-third of the angels. And all of the angels that decided they would actually conduct mutiny and try to see if they could overthrow God. Now, I know this sounds really, really crazy, but how in the world can you overthrow a God who is all-powerful? I mean, you can't have more power than an all-powerful God. You can't. But that's the mindset of a person who decides that they want to, you know, ignore, you know, the reverence and the will of God, and they just don't care. And when you see that happening, that creates a problem where now, you know, there's an issue. There's a problem. So when that begins to happen, you're like, what in the world? Well, the Bible said he was successful and converted one-third of heaven. And so there was a war in heaven. Lucifer and his angels against Michael, the warrior, angel who was an archangel, heavenly army, and all of a sudden, there was a war, and Lucifer lost, and he got kicked out of heaven, him and all of his angels. And so the issue was, when that occurred, he was kicked out of heaven and cast down to what would be the earth that we recognize today. Now, the problem is, hell was created for Lucifer and his fallen angels. So it was not created for us. God gave us a difference in between the two. Those who follow God will go forever to be with the God you follow. And those who have made Lucifer, who was changed his name to Satan, or the devil, Slewfoot, if you would, their God on earth, then they will pretty much go to live where he is going to be cast into hell. And Jesus himself says that it is going to be a place that is burning, and there will be no cease of agony and gnashing of teeth and misery nonstop. And so that is very, very, very bad. And so it's a place that no one wants to go to. Now, what in the world does hell look like? Isn't that a good question? People have on television made it seem like hell was going to be a night spot where people can basically go to a strip club and hang out and get drunk and all this kind of stuff, where that's what, you know, that's what people are into. But that's not true. The Bible teaches that hell is a place of torment, that is a place of, you know, fire and brimstone, and it's really, really terrible. See, the bad thing about hell is that once you're there forever. And the bad part about it is that it is called the second death. The first death is when we die on earth. The Bible said it is required unto man once to die and then death. But once we die, that's the first death, okay? But spiritual death is the second death. And it will be good for people not to die twice. That hell is a place that your soul lasts forever in. Now, it's bad because if your soul is really, really immortal and it lasts forever, then the only thing you can do with it is live forever wherever you're going to be. But imagine how tormentous it's going to be if a person is in hell in a soul and it burns and you can't stop it because you don't die or pass out or cease to live. You know, if you're in a building, you might catch on fire for a minute or two and get overcome with smoke and pass out. And, you know, and you're not feeling or experiencing any pain anymore. Person can die, but they don't experience any pain anymore after a couple minutes. And so the issue is, in hell, it is designed so that there is a never-ending pain that is there. And that is the thing that is so bad, that while those who are believers do not want anyone to have to go. Well, God didn't want any of his creation to go, so he gave people a choice. You can choose where you go for yourself. So God so loved us that he gave his only son named Jesus Christ, allow him to be born 2,000 years ago and allow him to be able to live a sinless and a perfect life so that he will be able to be sacrificed on a cross. And he died on that cross as a sacrifice for our sins. What we have done wrong, the things that we have done bad, that's what Jesus died for. So when we think about hell, it's a place that is eternal separation from God and his peace and his protection, his provision. And so we don't want that. But on the contrary, what does heaven look like? I'm glad you had that question. The Bible teaches that heaven is a very, very beautiful place. It teaches that in a time to come, that this earth and this sky and the universe are all going to be destroyed in a cataclysmic effect. But that there's something else that's going to happen. That during that time, God, if you would, is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the Bible teaches that the former, that heaven had passed away. But in this place, heaven is going to come down to earth. And it's going to be in the form of a city that is going to represent the city of God. It will be a place where people can go to worship God and to show their love for God. The earth will be a place that's going to be very similar to something that we're familiar with. But the Bible teaches mostly about the city. It teaches that in that city that there is going to be streets that are going to be paved with gold. It talks about the aesthetics of the walls and talks about how the walls are made out of jasper stone, how the gates to the city are in every direction, three gates in the north and three gates in the south, and three gates in the east and three gates in the west. And each gate, the gate itself was made out of a solid pearl, which is pretty awesome. I don't know if it's a solid pearl gate that has no seams in it or whether or not it's actually a solid, rounded pearl in the way that we've seen it. Don't know. But one thing we do know is that the Bible says that the city has like a high foundation. It like sits on top of 12 different really, really beautiful stones that are amazing to behold for those that lived on earth. And so it's really beautiful. Not only that, the Bible teaches that there are angels at the gates. So you get a chance to see these awesome gates, which is really great. And when you go inside of the city, there is a beautiful crystal river that is gorgeous to behold. It flows through, and also near it, there are some trees. And these trees are really awesome. It represents what we call the paradise tree. It is representation of what happened in Adam and Eve's time. See, what happened was back in the Garden of Eden, they had something called the tree of good and evil. I'm sorry, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they had the tree of life. And so the issue was that tree of life in the Garden of Eden is the same as the tree of life that is represented in paradise. So that tree actually represents the salvation and the unification that has been given to God from God to his people. And the issue is the Bible says that the leaves on it are good for the healing of the nations. Isn't that awesome? Now, the Bible also mentions that there are mansions in this place. There are houses and beautiful edifices. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. But were not so, I would have told you, in my Father's house are many mansions. So when we think about it, it's going to be a place that is really, really awesome. Now, someone says, heaven is just too amazing to imagine. And I agree with them, but there's more to it. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for those that love him. Which almost leads to the fact that heaven is so awesome and so beautiful, there's no way you would ever even remotely get close to being able to describe it. And some things of it, I think that that exact description probably fits it. That is just indescribable. Well, along those lines, you still need to know the Bible does cover a few details which we have mentioned before. Lastly, I want to tell you that the Bible says that there was no sun in the place, that it didn't need a sun, an S-U-N, in order to give illumination into the heavenly city of God. That illumination was going to come from the glory of God itself, and it lit up the entire city and gave it all of its centerpiece of sunlight. That is absolutely amazing. I don't know about you, but the Bible says that anybody who accepts him, everyone who gives their life to him, will be able to be saved and will be able to go to live with him. I look forward to that day. But before it happens, we have an opportunity on earth to be able to live for our God, serve our God, to love our God, and to tell other people about who he is and what he's done. We live in a time where people are forgetting how to be good, and they are not willing to go to church to reinvigorate their principles of life and love and liberty. People are not interested in trying to do what they know is right. They're only interested in doing their thing. So time is winding up. If you're really going to serve God, we've got to do better. And I want to challenge you today. Have you ever thought about what happens when you die? Have you thought about whether or not you will go to heaven or hell? If you haven't, I want to challenge you tonight to get to know Jesus, to understand that it is he and he alone who could do all things but fail. And if you give your life to him, you can be saved from the wrath to come. That everything we just discussed will be yours and a blessing unto you. Have you thought about it? Are you willing to let go and let God? If so, I want to ask you to pray this prayer of salvation. Dear Lord, we want to thank you this day. We ask, Father, that you would look upon us and have mercy. Forgive us for the many sins we have committed in our lives because we acknowledge that we need you. We have to have you. Can't make it without you. Dear God, please be merciful unto us. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins, wash us in your blood, help us to be righteous before you, guide us till we find a good church home where we can be Bible-fed and Spirit-led. And we ask all these things in the darling Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to thank you so much for listening to our broadcast today because it's been such a blessing. Before I go on, I want to ask, are there any questions whatsoever over the airways? If you'd like to shoot a text message, you can reach us at 865-306-6362. Are there any questions at this time? If you have given your life to Christ, I want to challenge you to make sure that you do something with it. Take your life and commit yourself to a challenge program of learning of God. The Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to encourage you to make sure that you try to get as close to God as you can, that you seek to try to honor him and try to do the things that you do learn about him. As you learn better, push yourself to do better and strive to try to honor and help him to be all in your life. Tell your friends if opportunity presents itself and try to see if God will open doors that you may tell any and all those who he will lead you along the way. I want to thank you for all that you do and encourage you to keep God first, because you can never go wrong doing right. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to talking to you next week, where we'll talk about mentoring and the important impact that we make on other people. Are you looking for a mentor? If so, feel free to give us a call at 865-306-6362. We want to tell you that until next time, we love you, but God loves you best. Our church is located at Morristown, Tennessee, at 420 West 13th North Street. And you're more than welcome to come anytime. Sunday morning, we have 9:30 Bible teaching and instruction, and we make it a blessing for you by providing breakfast every single Sunday morning. It'll encourage and bless you, so we encourage you to come on out and join us. Also, we have morning worship, which is at 11 a.m. That's set up to be a praise and outreach and celebration for Christ. There's a word of God that will be delivered by yours truly. And on Wednesday, we have a Bible study that is phenomenal. So we look forward to seeing you there. You're welcome to come on our Bible studies on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. or on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Until next time, we want to say we love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Have a victorious week in Jesus.